Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, last day of March 2020. How many people at the beginning of the year, how many of you would have thought we would be where we're at today? I dare say not too many, although some people had said 2020 was going to be the year that everything would change. And I know I had talked to Steve at the beginning of the year, of course, and at the end of last year, Steve Quayle, that is, and Tom Horn and others, looking forward to 2020 and what was on the horizon. And I think both predicted actually exactly where we're at. When I say exactly where we're at, not the virus, but the consequences thereof. Very interesting. And by the way, Steve Quayle and Tom Horn are going to be on this program Thursday night. Mark your calendars. April 2nd. Thursday night, beginning at 7 o'clock, Tom Horn with Steve Quayle. Shadowland, they're going to be talking about. Coming up is Paul McGuire. Before I get into the headlines, you know, the headlines can cause you to lose sleep, a lot of stress. You know, sleep, look, folks, we all need it, but studies show that most of us aren't getting enough. That's you and me, all right? 70% of all Americans are suffering from lack of sleep. Are you among that 70%, I dare say you are. Whether it's difficulty in falling asleep or whether it's difficulty in staying asleep, tossing and turning all night so you wake up feeling like you've been through a blender, as I like to say, almost no one is immune. And lack of good quality sleep is dangerous. It's dangerous to your health. It can lead to high blood pressure, weight gain, type 2 diabetic situations, stroke, and even death. Now learn about the amazing new sleep solution that Women's World magazine featured as the lullaby music proven to work better than a sleep med. I'm telling you, fantastic article about this. The Reader's Digest named one of 53 products that will dramatically improve your life in 2020. I'm talking about WholeTones.com. That's WholeTones.com. WholeTones to Sleep is guaranteed to help you fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and wake up refreshed. Now, on this show, you've heard about Susie's story, a registered nurse who spent 34 years struggling with poor sleep until she found Whole Tones to Sleep. Have I gone to heaven? She asked herself. Not quite, but she had discovered Whole Tones to Sleep. Learn about Whole Tones to Sleep, portable music sleep player. I call it a hockey puck. By visiting sleepmusic.com, Whole Tones to Sleep, WholeTones.com. That's WholeTones.com. WholeTones.com. Enter promo code Hagman to save $10 off the already low price of WholeTones to Sleep. Plus, they have an instant digital download. You've got to try this out. It's valued at $50 that you'll get for free. It's a free bonus with your order of the WholeTones to Sleep player. I love this. I love it. As a matter of fact, I was going to bring it with me. My wife is actually using it as we speak. My grandson responds to that really well. All right, have a packed show for you lined up. First hour, Paul McGuire. Do we have Paul? All right, let's go right to Paul rather than go through a litany of headlines, because if you go to paulmcguire.us, and folks, I would urge you to do this as you're listening to Paul. Go to paulmcguire.us. First, check out the array of books that Paul's got. Second of all, support Paul's ministry. Thirdly, look at the coronavirus, a multidimensional battle that he has on his website. I went into last weekend. I told you about this, saying, what am I missing? What am I missing about this coronavirus? I know I'm missing something. Coach Dave Dobmeier and I were sending messages back and forth early this morning, and it's amazing that we were both thinking the same thing. We are missing something about this. Well, the multidimensional aspect of this battle, I believe, is one thing that we have to take a look at. In here to talk about this is Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us. Paul, thanks for joining me today.
It's great to be on your show, Doug, and just, you know, in light of the coronavirus and all that, because of all the chaos, you are looking sharp, tight, together, professional.
Well, thanks.
So I want to let you. I wish I looked that good this early in the morning, but you're on it, man. And I'm saying that is because, you know, when you're on the front line like you are and you break so much important news and you take a risk to break all that important news, there are people out there who can't fight the facts that you have. They can't fight the data, the research, the documentation you have. So they try to demonize you, and all demonization is attempting to marginalize someone by cherry picking distorted pictures of you, me, or other people, because they can't fight fair. So that's why I wanted to open the show by saying, you know, you look sharp and focused because there are enemies out there who can't fight us on content, so they play little kids' games. Yeah, anyway.
You've seen the cartoons too, so, all right.
Yeah. And you know what? I laughed and I said to myself, this guy, well, I gotta be careful.
that's fine. Okay. That's fine. Let's get right into it, Paul. By the way, you've been doing some great work and I want to thank you for all you're doing and you've done. Your books are fantastic. The Greatest Battle, for the Hearts and Minds in the History of the World. Folks, if you haven't read this book, you've got to read it. I mean, you got to read all of Paul's books, but that in particular really summarizes. And I think didn't we talk last time? You had like 4,000 or 40, I mean, some unbelievable number of pages of, things written out where you had to distill it down into what was in this book.
Right. It was, on the floor of the studio, there was stacks of paper. The original manuscript for The Greatest Battle was 4,000 pages. And then I said, look, nobody's going to read this. So I chopped it down to a lean and mean. I think it's like 370 pages or something. Because there's so much stuff that you really want to say, but you know, people can only take so much at a time. As I say often, the Holy Spirit guides my research. And the reason I say that is because there's no statistical way or through coincidence that I would get into so many areas right before or years later things will happen. And I have no why I included my book. So, for example, in The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I felt very led because I was doing a lot of research on autoimmune diseases, contagions, biological warfare, electromagnetic pulse weapon attacks. And I got into autoimmune diseases a lot because autoimmune diseases, a lot of them, I believe, were either exacerbated or potentially originated as biological warfare viruses, or excuse me, biological warfare bacteria that masquerades as a virus and released into the general population by accident, like Lyme disease, like chronic fatigue, like Epstein-Barr. You know, there are so many certain kinds of arthritis with your hands. I know people whose hands are all clenched up and stuff. And I'm not a doctor, but I know people who, through nutritional alternative medicines, let's say, have either regressed substantially these diseases and paralyzed them, or some people say that they've overcome them. So I was doing deep research on that because what was of most interest to me was that there's about 30 autoimmune diseases. And as you know, Doug, 75% of all autoimmune diseases women are the most vulnerable target to these autoimmune diseases for some reason. And it's ruining people's lives. So now we have the coronavirus. And you know, I can't prove to you, I can only speculate. We don't know at this point whether it is some kind of disease that's been around, but let's just say hypothetically, it was made in a biological warfare laboratory and it escaped, because a lot of times these biological warfare diseases, they leak out, or, you know, who knows what happens. Our soldiers in the two invasions of the Middle East, you know, Operation Desert Storm and the Bush Jr.'s war. Our troops were exposed, they say, to Saddam Hussein's biological warfare arsenal. And when they came back, they would get treatment, and the VA or whatever would say, oh, you're suffering from, you don't really have a disease. These pains you're feeling and everything else, they're not real. They're all in your head. You have post-traumatic stress disorder. So I really did a lot of research on that, and I did a research on the relationship between 5G and disease and health. And before I touch on the coronavirus, I just want to touch a little bit on 5G because it's very important. 5G, as you know, is 100 times more powerful than 4G or 3G, 2G, or 1G. 100 times more powerful. Right now as we speak, and I talk all about this in my book, The Greatest Battle, right now as we speak, there are 20,000 brand new satellites orbiting the Earth, creating a communications electronic blanket grid surrounding our planet Earth. 5G is not fully online, but it's starting to be online. And so there's these strange occurrences happening all over the United States and the world. Birds dropping out of the air and dying, insects and bees dying by 5G cell phone towers, plants shriveled up, and all kinds of things. In addition, I would imagine there's probably a certain percentage of your audience who may not realize it or not, but they're now experiencing anxiety, insomnia, and other things to a higher degree, not just because of the coronavirus, but because 5G is starting to come online. Now, just briefly, and I explain it in the book, The Greatest Battle. I also explain it in the book, Conquering the Matrix. The Soviet Union, now Russia, communist Russia, they grabbed on to Nikola Tesla's scalar technology way back in the 1920s. They grabbed a hold of it. And when they began to experiment with electromagnetic frequency weapons, they called it bioenergetics, or other terms they used was psychoenergetics, and I talk all about this. Now, the point is bioenergetics is simply a term that the Soviet Union developed to explain to us that electromagnetic frequencies constitute bioenergetics. They can used for be healing. A bioenergetic electromagnetic field can heal, can get rid of disease, can boost the immune system, and many tremendously positive benefits. On the downside, bioenergetics using different specific frequencies can destroy the immune system and actually release disease. They can release mental illness, psychosis, and disease. So now that we know that, there's an interrelationship between diseases, disease epidemics, biological warfare, and potentially 5G technology. So now that we say this, isn't it interesting? 5G is now rolling out big time as we speak. It's launching. At the same time that 5G rolls out, we now have this mysterious coronavirus, which was supposedly was released in Wuhan, China, and I assume that it was. Now, is that coronavirus a man-made biological warfare disease, or is it a some kind of natural disease? For the moment, let's put that question on the shelf. The problem is we have a pandemic that is spreading all across the world. And, you know, this disease, as it stands now, at this very second, completely paralyzes society. It revolutionizes every aspect of society you could possibly imagine. I mean, husbands and wives now are thinking twice about, you know, hugging each other as they fall asleep or holding hands because they might pass germs. people are now in isolation in their houses or whatever. You know, movie theaters are over. There are so many businesses and jobs, at least for the foreseeable future, that are over. So our society literally overnight has been revolutionized to its very core. Now, I'm not saying that this was done intentionally, but the byproduct of fighting this disease is that we have now lost even more of our Bill of Rights and constitutional rights, like freedom of assembly. A pastor, I happen to know this pastor, Rodney Howard Brown, a famous pastor. I was down on his television show. I got to know him. In fact, it was Rodney Howard Brown that in the book Trumpocalypse that I wrote with Troy Anderson. We tell the story. It was Rodney Howard Brown. I was on the phone with him shortly after he had met with some high Republican official, and the Republican official said that essentially that the deep state was planning to get rid of Trump. And Rodney Howard Brown went public with that statement. Again, the Holy Spirit, because I didn't know any of this was happening. I for some reason I called him. I don't call him that often. I call him, you know, once every 2 years or something. And, as I'm calling him, he's relating the story of how he's, warning of a potential removal of President Trump. And it was making all the news. And as I called him in his office, his outer office was packed with either FBI or CIA. I think it was FBI. Oh, no, excuse me. Secret Service agents were all in his office. And he kept talking to me. He made the Secret Service agents wait. I included the story in the book Trumpocalypse. And the point is that this is the same guy that just, I guess, yesterday, was it? The Florida police and sheriff's department or some branch of Florida law enforcement, they went in and arrested him because he continued to have public church services after, I guess, they said you can't have church services. Okay, look, I understand that if you're trying to stop a pandemic, law enforcement and other authorities need to isolate, they need to social distance. And quite frankly, at Paradise Mountain Church, the church that I'm the pastor of, we have stopped our physical meetings for the time being. Because, first of all, the governor has made it illegal. Two is if somebody was to walk into any church meeting and get sick and catch some kind of contagion like the coronavirus, you can imagine the ramifications that would happen to that church or whatever. So basically all churches are physically shut down. Ours is physically shut down. We continue to operate. People want to hear the teaching, the Bible prophecy teaching, the messages. We have a Roku channel. We have all kinds of social media. If they go to paulmcguire.us, they can attend our church services free electronically, and they can go into the archives on the Roku channel and watch hundreds of hours of like 3 hour Bible prophecy teachings that I gave at Paradise Mountain Church. I want to say this as a slight sarcastic remark. You know, there are people who suffer from various degrees of lunacy. One is called delusional thinking. So occasionally I'll get some clown, and I do mean clown, like Bozo the Clown. I'll get some clown who'll say, oh, he doesn't have a church. He has a P.O. box. I'll be very blunt. I hope people don't think I'm not being pastoral by saying this. Here's my response. I don't say it to them, but I'm thinking this privately. They say, what are you, an idiot? I never said, it's the P.O. box, you moron. That's where we receive our mail. Like many churches and businesses and corporations, we, including the government, we receive our mail at a P.O. box. Nobody said the P.O. box was a church, but you in your delusional fantasy. And you say, well, he doesn't have a church. He has a P.O. box. Well, then go to the Roku channel and watch like 7 years of church services where I'm preaching 3 hour Bible prophecy messages, they're all up on video. There's no debate about whether we have church services. We have videos going back for 10 years. I just had to get that out of my system.
You know what? If I can just toss something in here. Folks, you got to see the small cameras and the small people inside that P.O. box. Okay. It's really marvelous to see how they all fit in there. Anyway, okay. So yeah, humor or sarcasm aside, by the way, Rodney Howard Brown, a friend of mine, I know why he did what he did. I'm not sure if I agree with what he did, but you know, that was to focus on the liberty side of things. How we are being, like lemmings. Okay. And I just want to slip this in here real quick. Earlier today, Paul, I ventured out for the first time to go to a grocery store, an upscale grocery store, chain. Wegmans for people who want to know. And by the time I got to the cashier, I just bought like two, three different things. By the time I got to the cashier, I said, you know, I asked her, I said, have you ever watched the Seinfeld episode, The Soup Nazi? And she said, yep. And I said, that's exactly the way I feel right now. You know how they, went in there and had a, if you saw the episode, you'd understand, folks, but that's not going to, at least in my view, that's making us act like lemmings is not going to do much for the fighting this virus. And by the way, we're not at war with a virus. We're at war with the people behind that who released that, in my view. And I just want to get those few oddities or the few things out of the way. And the other thing, too, while you're talking, folks, research the Moscow Signal. It goes back from 1953 to 1976-ish. Also the Havana Syndrome, which is more recent, and the Uzbekistan incident, which happened in 2017. And while you're doing that, make sure you have a copy of Paul's latest book in hand. Go ahead, Paul. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I'm really glad you said that. I know Rodney Howard Brown too. And I don't know exactly why he did it. He didn't tell me, but I could figure out what he was trying to do. He was trying to protect. He was trying to make a statement saying that the church has the right to meet constitutionally, and people blew it over. But he said he had all kinds of technology in the sanctuary that zaps germs. Now, I believe him. He's a very smart man. He has a lot of very smart contacts. And so I'm sure that in that sanctuary, what he said is that he had all kinds of technology that was zapping the germs so they wouldn't spread. Now, I'm aware of those technologies. I don't know if they're effective or not, quite honestly, but he wasn't being completely irresponsible. And notice how the media didn't pick up on what the technologies are. Because if those technologies work, then we can all go back to public places. I can think of one technology right now, and I don't want to say it out loud because I don't know if it kills the coronavirus, but it kills a lot of bacteria and germs. So you could have this in hospitals and public places, and we could all go back to being in public. If the technology that Rodney Howard Brown said he has really works, let's look at that. Now, having said that, he was trying to make a constitutional defense of the right to freedom of religion. And to warn that, you know, let's not have this Hitlerian crackdown. But like you, even though I Rodney Howard Brown is my brother in Christ, like you, I would have to say personally, and I'm not, you know, I'm not putting him down because he's my brother in Christ, and he's a bright guy. People try to dismiss him, but he's a bright guy. I would not have done that. I have shut down the Paradise Mountain Church physical meetings simply because if the government says you need to shut down to spread the quarantine, you need to respect that because you can't expect the local sheriff's department to make an evaluation of your technology works and killing the virus. That's not their qualification. So when it comes off, and maybe he thought this through and maybe he didn't, but it comes off like you're trying to defy the government and endanger people. And quite honestly, I think he made the wrong decision.
I agree.
And it drew a problem to himself.
I agree with you 100%.
Notice, but this thing I couldn't help but notice because, you know, I studied propaganda and all that stuff. You noticed you couldn't have found a worse cherry-picked photo of him after he was arrested. They chose the photo that made him look like the most psychotic, the most criminal you could possibly find. I've met the guy. You've met the guy. There's no way. He looks like a psychopath in that picture, and he doesn't look like a psychopath in real life. That's dirty pool.
Agreed, 100%. Yeah. You know, I agree with everything that you just said, and I think it was the wrong hill to, you know, plant his flag in my view. And I tell him that personally. But, it's just, it's interesting you mentioned that because before the program, this is from, Friday, March 27th of this year. The religious right's hostility to science is crippling our coronavirus response by Catherine Stewart. This was in the New York Times. I'm not sure if people can see that, but, there's Paula White with Donald Trump and other evangelicals, and of course, and the issue there is, well, you know, it's the right, the conservative Christians are being made to look villainous in this fight against this pandemic. So go ahead, sir.
Well, I'm very glad that you brought that up, because what you just brought up is the propaganda narrative. Okay, so like we, as you know, and many of your viewers and listeners know, we live in an area of Orwellian propaganda, Big Brother. Everything is worded to be propaganda, mind control. So what you just read, as you well know, Doug, what you just read was the propaganda narrative that certain people developed to demonize, marginalize Christians, thus the deplorables. The deplorables was a mind control word, you know, to demonize Christians and conservatives. And so that, what you just read, is it's a propaganda statement. Once again, it demonizes Christians. Okay. And it tells a lie. Okay. And I've heard this. I've had arguments with my liberal friends and people that I know on the phone, vigorous arguments. And they repeat to me word for word what you just read in that narrative. Like the Trump supporters are anti-science. Baloney! The Trump reporters are not anti-science. And look, I'm not here to be a Trump apologist. I don't think Trump handled this thing. And it's easy for me to say it from I think Trump blew it in a number of ways in handling at least the initial outbreak of this coronavirus. And he's going to have to make it up. Okay. Now it's easy for me to be an armchair or backseat driver and tell somebody what to do when I'm not in the driver's seat. But the point is he was warned by some of his associates that he needed to jump out in front of this on leadership, because if he doesn't, they're going to look to bring him down on the mismanagement of the coronavirus epidemic. But, you know, Trump, people constantly assume, because they want to assume, they demonize Trump by trying to make him a psychotic and they think he's crazy. When he said he would turn around the coronavirus by Easter, I would imagine the reason he said that is that in the back of his head, he's going, you know what? If I don't say something shocking and positive, my words will crash the stock market. That's what was going through his mind. Now, but the other thing is, because I have been researching, and please don't take your audience, please don't take my comments as medical advice. I'm not a medical doctor. Nothing I say should be construed as medical advice. You need to go to your doctor or a doctor who knows what he's talking about. Okay, that's my disclaimer. Okay, so the point is there are a number of developments that you're aware of, Doug, I know, and others in your audience are aware of, a number of developments which can either cure to some degree the coronavirus, slow it down, et cetera, et cetera. One is this agent, which I cannot pronounce. Maybe you can pronounce it for me, Doug. I cannot pronounce this. It's a tongue twister to me. The drug with the Z pack at the end of it that Qualone or something. I can't pronounce it.
Hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine.
There's certain words that is like I get like it's mental spaghetti. I can't get it straight. Yeah. Anyway, that drug or whatever you want to call it, that's been around for, and a medical doctor in your audience can correct me, but it's been around for at least 30 or 40 years.
Yep.
And it's been heavily, heavily, heavily used all over the world. It's nothing new to defeat malaria primarily. It's been used all over the world in millions of doses. So everybody knows it's safe. Now, when I do research, I just don't do research. I read medical reports. I read medical journals. I read sources that I trust, listen to sources that I trust. For example, Doug, your program, among some other programs, and your articles too. When I see one of your shows on a topic that I want to do research, I trust the integrity of your research because I know you don't BS and just fabricate. There's integrity to it. I also trust the integrity of your guests. And I don't want to go down a list because I'll omit some and I don't want to offend anybody. But I listen to your guests, because they have integrity. You're to me a source of integrity. You mentioned the New York Times. I talk about this in one of my earlier books, Conquering the Matrix. The New York Times has, I don't know to what percentage, has been receiving money and been on the payroll of the CIA and the Central Intelligence Agency for decades. Okay? Now, normally I wouldn't have said that publicly. I said it in my books. I'm saying it probably for the first time on the air on your show. And then, of course, Washington Post, CIA money, New York Times, CIA money, and many, many, many of the major media, major, major, huge magazines, major networks, and on and on. And people say to me, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Okay, let's just take the comment I made about CIA funding of media, and I didn't even get into the CIA funding of some of the biggest social media companies are funded by the CIA. All right. Now, you go back to the 1970s, and I have the entire quote in my book, Conquering the Matrix. Carl Bernstein, who I believe is, I'm just going to say what I think. You know, I mean, I'm Mr. Bernstein, I'm not trying to offend you, but I think you're a fraud. I think you're a fraud. I think the Washington Post is a fraud because you got your Pulitzer Prize in journalism. I think you got your Pulitzer Prize to do a hit piece on a president. And then I will commend you, though, as a writer. Carl Bernstein did a fascinating, brilliant, with a lot of integrity, which shocked me, article in Rolling Stone magazine. And Rolling Stone magazine is not just some flaky, you know, 100 cans of Red Bull a night, let's do some psychedelic drugs, and, you know, that's part of its audience, but Rolling Stone pays some big bucks to hire some really quality writers in a number of their articles in the magazine. So in the 1970s, Carl Bernstein, Pulitzer Prize winning writer for the Watergate scandal coverage, wrote like this hugely long article on the CIA and how the CIA were everywhere in control in all of the media. And he named all of the networks and all the giant magazines like Time and Newsweek and the Washington Post and the New York Times and stuff like that. And the movie theaters. Excuse me, the entertainment industry, the movie industry, the television industry, and on, the publishing industry. And he named names and dollar amounts. And basically, he gave anybody an inside look at the fact that the CIA controls or influences or directs to whatever degree the entire entertainment news media complex. Now, this is from Bernstein's own research. And so Bernstein is mentioning that the CIA is funding and putting their hand-picked people in all these media conglomerates. This was, of course, before social media, so he couldn't have included that. But we already know there have been articles in like Wired magazine and mainstream computer magazines and mainstream news publications that indicate the CIA, they don't give money directly to these media companies. They, for example, the CIA hired Jeff Bezos of Amazon hired a CIA front company to develop the cloud system for the CIA. Bezos was hired to develop a cloud system, a very sophisticated cloud system for the CIA. But the CIA always usually goes through front companies. So we have all this money going into that. And my point is this. If they're managing the coverage of all the news media, so why is there not reporting on the fact that this drug that basically cures to a large degree the coronavirus, why was that kind of hidden? Why is the reputation of excellence of that drug hidden? Why are there not stories, for example, we have what I would call the moderate conservative cable news networks. They're all radical liberal, and we have one moderate liberal conservative news network that people think is conservative. Notice that network that I'm talking about, this moderate so-called conservative, pseudo-conservative cable news network, notice that every day it slides more and more to the left, to the progressive point of view. Every day. Look how much time they gave to Governor Cuomo, who's positioning himself, I guess, for a presidential run. I don't know.
Good point.
So Cuomo's thing, and I don't want to get into the politics. I'm going to stay out of the politics of who's running again. I'm going to stay on the coronavirus. So the point is, I'm not a doctor. This is not medical advice, but we've learned that there are certain targeted nutrients. I talk about this book in The Greatest Battle, even though it's not on the coronavirus, it's on autoimmune diseases. Things like B12 sublingual under the tongue. Zinc is a powerful antiviral. Vitamin C, of course, is a powerful antiviral. There's a whole list of alternative nutritional vitamin nutrients. They're very potent. So at the very least, they will strengthen your immune system. Now, this is Paul McGuire's theory, nothing else. Other people say the same thing. It's not original to me. I didn't invent it. I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you or promising you you're going to survive the coronavirus or overcome it because you use this protocol. But I said to myself, what's the main thing I can do? Because the minute I heard about the coronavirus, I go into my instant research mode, okay? I don't know what it is. I think it's just a gift from God. It's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's just a gift of searching and bypassing the filtering and censoring of the search engines. So I go right to the medical reports that you're not supposed to read, but they're public if you know how to find them. Okay, so zinc is an antiviral. There are many other things. So the key is you build up your immune system. The stronger your immune system is, it doesn't mean you'll absolutely repel the coronavirus. But if you get infected by it, one would think, Doug, wouldn't you, that the stronger your immune system is, if your immune system is filled with the right nutrients, wouldn't you think that you would have a far greater chance of surviving and overcoming? I'm just curious. You're not a doctor. I'm not a doctor.
No, it's just common sense. And exactly what you said, starting out, coming out of the gate, you know, you've got to start with a uncompromised immune system. And thank you. And by the way, just by mentioning the open source information about the very topic that you're speaking, Alex Jones was his app was taken down from Google. He was
when
yesterday or the last week. Last week it was he was parroting the information, open source information about the very topic about zinc and about hydroxychloroquine and about the Z-Pak combination, and he was Google wiped him out. I mean, took him right off the app and his presence. So you're 100% accurate. So continue, but yes, common sense. Okay.
So I want to make this preface because we know all kinds of people are listening and watching your show. I support, American law enforcement. I support our intelligence agencies, support our military, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to say that I'm a patriotic American and I support our intelligence agencies, our law enforcement, and our government. The Bible says, you know, that we're to submit unto government and we're to pray for all those in authority above us. So I just want to just insert this not as a cop out, but as a properly interpreted biblical truth. The Bible says that we as believers in Jesus Christ, we're to pray for all those in authority above us. That means whether we like them or not, whether we think they're incompetent or not, or whatever it is, we don't have to agree with them, but the Bible commands us to pray for all those who are in authority above us, because it's only by praying for them that that opens the doors in the spiritual realm, our prayers, for the power of the Holy Spirit to guide, convict, lead them, change their minds, give them wisdom, even though they may not be wise. So what happens is, if we're praying fervently for government above us, that means the head of the CDC, that means FEMA. You may not agree with what they're doing. You may be diametrically opposed to it, but if you don't pray for them, it doesn't mean you can't write your opinion of critique or whatever in freedom of speech, but praying for them, because that's the only avenue we have for the Holy Spirit to move. And this is always a personal challenge for me, because probably like most of your viewers and watchers, I'm a person of very strong convictions. And some politicians and government agencies drive me crazy, because to me, in my mind, I see incompetence or I disagree with their game plan. And I'm talking about both Republican and Democrat. I don't just disagree with Democrats. There's some Republican stuff that I seriously disagree with. So having said that, we pray for them. Now, here's the question I have. Why, if the CIA is investing so much money in these major media outlets and stuff, what is the motivation? Why isn't there, I think this is what is bothering millions of Americans. I mean, I think there are countless millions of Americans on the left, the right, in all different types of demographics, and we share this common concern. We feel that on a regular basis, whether we're right or wrong, and many times we've proven to be right, we don't feel that we can trust our government to tell us the truth in most things. We assume, based on our real life experience, that our government regularly lies to us and conceals things to us. Now, that is a fundamental breach of trust. Not only does it violate the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, it's a fundamental breach of trust. So for America to truly be healed, not just of the coronavirus, but of the crisis, the existential crisis America's in right now, we can't move forward unless we have people in government, media, and in private life who will demand that we deal with each other with at least some kind of integrity, telling of the truth and honesty. this habitual practice by governments and our politicians to lie to the people as the norm. I don't want to exaggerate here. I hope I'm wrong, but it almost appears that the norm is for them to lie to us. What possible insane notion can we have of healing and moving forward in America if our political system has become so corrupt that lying is the norm? I mean, they lie about zinc. They lie about the drug to cure the coronavirus. They lie about the supplies. They lie about vaccines. They lie about, and when I say lie, most of the lying is not outward telling of lies or outward writing of lies. Most of the lying is simply you silence. You don't disclose the information to the people that you have, that you should. That's the biggest lie. That's the biggest form of the lie.
And you know, so, Paul, I just quickly interject this. CBS ran a story, I think it was last night, where they were talking about the New York City ventilator shortage of ventilators in New York City hospitals. Okay, maybe that's true, and I do believe that to be true, except in the background they ran footage of a hospital, ostensibly a New York City hospital, but it wasn't. It was footage, old footage from Italy. So that's a lie right there by media, but they're taking lessons from the federal government too. So go ahead.
Right. No, but you're right, because you know I come out of the media and like using footage in Italy that's supposed to be that they do that all the time. So my question is, you know, and I hope, because I know you have an audience that consists of people from all stratas of society, from the highest levels of government to law enforcement to ordinary people to ministers and people who are very radical liberals or whatever. They watch you. So I'm simply saying this. I'm not saying this coming from the place of anger or anti-government feelings. You know, I don't want to be portrayed with those lies. I'm not an extremist. Your audience aren't extremists. I'm a law-abiding, peaceful guy, period. And I don't want to be demonized by some liar. Maybe I'm naive, Doug, but I remember PS 69 where I went to school in third grade, Jackson Heights, Queens. We would stand in the school auditorium, put our hands over our hearts, say the Pledge of Allegiance. As I would look at the auditorium, American flag on both an American flag and maybe it was a state of New York flag, and there'd be a giant picture of Lincoln on one side, President Abraham Lincoln, giant picture of President George Washington on the other. And I guess I'm just one of these naive guys that. When I heard all this stuff about America and George Washington and the Revolutionary War and the Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence and stuff like that, and why America was different and all that, you know, Doug, I actually believed all that. To me, it was never a fairy tale when I was a kid. It wasn't like watching Walt Disney. I truly believed to the bottom of my heart that America was good and honest and decent. And I was even though I came from an atheist family, a radical, intellectual family, I believed in America. I was patriotic. I believed in the constant. I still do to this day, those core beliefs. And I don't know. I don't think I'm the only one. I mean, I really believed it. So when that grafts into your soul, you know, you believe in your nation, you're patriotic. And then as you get older, unfortunately, you get wiser and unfortunately, because it's painful. It's painful to go from the place of, I love my country. You know, I believe in our principles. It's very painful to see that America die or be killed in front of you. And this evil replace it. You know, Doug, you remember the days. I remember when I was a hippie with hair down to my waist and the whole thing, and I was a radical leftist. The left, the radical leftists that I hung out with, they all believed in free speech. Absolutely no censorship, no matter what. Now you have a radical left that's Nazi-esque in its censorship. Anyway, back to this thing. Why is the CIA and the globalist elite who own our media conglomerate, why are they silencing things like zinc being a powerful antiviral, the other herbs and things? What technology was Rodney Howard Brown using? I think I have a suspicion, but I don't want to say it out loud. How come they're not teaching us how to survive and how to get well? And here's something I want to add onto it. I've been out at a lot of stores, not because I wanted to, it's just because I had to. I had to go to the grocery store a bunch of times. I had to go office supply store. And I remember in this grocery store that I was at, there's a pharmacy in the grocery store. And I noticed that, because I had to go back for several visits, that nobody's obeying the social distancing law in California. Most of the people don't even have masks. Nothing sanitary, it's not properly being sanitized in the pharmacy. You have all the people that are like 70 years and older who are waiting in long lines to get to the pharmacy. You have people 70 years and older trying to get food, and they're the high risk group. There's no proper sanitization. They say we're out of alcohol, we're out of gloves. There's no sanitization. And you have a system where you've deliberately set it up so that the people who are at the high risk, 70 years or 67 years plus, you're forcing them to continually go into crowded places like grocery stores and pharmacies. Then you also make sure you have the sick people coming in constantly, because the way our medication system, I believe, is set up in the United States is that you basically have to physically go to the pharmacy for most things. And so you're forcing all these people with compromised immune systems, because who goes to the pharmacy? People who are sick, people who have a compromised immune system. So every day all across America, you've got the pharmacies packed and the grocery stores packed with people who have the lowest immune systems, and the insurance companies will not give people medication in advance or whatever. They make them come back, what is it, every 30 days for a rotation.
Yep.
Now, this is, it's so incompetent. Okay, just objectively, it's so incompetent that you have to say, is this being done deliberately to spread the exposure? I mean, is this a deliberate plan to spread the coronavirus? Because what you're doing is the way you have your medical and food delivery systems, you're forcing your most compromised immune system part of your population to go over and over again into the pharmacy and these crowded stores where they're being exposed to the potential of the coronavirus. You've turned, whether you realize it or not, and I can't help but think that there are people that realize it, you're forcing these people with compromised immune systems to go essentially into stores and pharmacies, which are therefore incubators of the disease. It's like you're amplifying the potential of catching the disease by forcing people together in crowded situations where there isn't enough sanitization, where they're breathing and coughing and exchanging stuff. I mean, what is that? It's like you couldn't have planned a more incompetent thing.
You know what, Paul? I agree with you. Now, I think people are gonna comment and send emails. Look, it's different in different parts of the country. Where you're at, it's like that. Where I'm at, it's a little bit different. The soup Nazi-esque Seinfeld kind of environment where, you know, we were all to act like lemmings. And I told the cashier earlier, today, I said, look, I know there's a problem, and I know that, you know, that there's a virus, and I know that you're trying to fight it, but what you're doing here, I don't have a lot of confidence in, given what we know. But you're right. So when you talk about this, two words come into mind: social experiment. And remember Jade Helm about mapping the human domain? I can't help but think back to Jade Helm, 15, 16, whatever it was. You know, people say, well, nothing ever came of that. Well, what was that all about? And your mention of 5G, as well. Okay. Now, in prayer and such. I mean, you packed a lot of information into this. Prayer, scalar technology, scalar waves, changing things by using that Tesla technology, I believe. You can actually change things through prayer. So just the combination of comments, I suppose, in this, because we're getting short on time. You know, Paul, I look out and I know that we've got a problem, but I don't, we're missing something. We're being lied to, as you say. And I believe that what we're doing, okay, may help on certain levels, but because even on your website, this multi-layered, multi-dimensional, problem that we're facing, you know, we have to look at this as a multi-dimensional issue, and we're not doing so. So, props for that, and thank you for that. I really appreciate, you putting that out there. So, you're exactly right. I think your observations are right on the money. Everything that you said about this, we're being lied to and led into a behavior that's not really going to help anything. I'm interested. How do you see us coming out of this, Paul? How do you see this playing out?
Well, I see let me just mention this very briefly, because when I do research, I was listening to a lecture by a German scientist. He spoke for about an hour and a half, and he was an expert in the drug that gets rid of the coronavirus, because he used it for years to get rid of malaria. This guy was not a Christian. He believed in the life force and stuff like that, but he was not a Christian at all. And he said, if you want to look into the heart of darkness, if you have the courage to, this is a non-Christian. He said, ask yourself why the global supplies for the coronavirus drug, that the global supplies of that drug, which was everywhere, suddenly disappeared. He said, like somebody shut off the water faucet. All that of all the drug that gets rid of the coronavirus disappeared, he said, about a month before the outbreak. And then he said, in 2019, there were numerous seminars and game plan theories. I believe Bill Gates was part of one, in which they did a global pandemic based on a virus infecting the entire world. They did all this game theory stuff on how to deal with a global pandemic. Now, what's the likelihood of doing a huge map and preparation for a global pandemic where the world's attacked by a fatal flu and then it actually happening 2 months later? I mean, yeah, come on, give
event,
me a break.
Event 201, and that was published on October 18th, right. 2019.
Yeah. And then, as you know, this is going to lead not necessarily into the mark of the beast, but that's an entire different subject. It may in the long term, but what it's going to lead to is ID 2020, yep, which they talked about in the open. They said, okay, we're going to use DNA and the transmission, the threat of the transmission of biological viruses and biological warfare. We're going to use that as the basis for our essentially mark of the beast technology. Okay. So, but I want to zero around. You said it's a multidimensional battle, and you're right. So the way I handle it, and again, I don't claim to be the all knowing one. I'm doing everything I can to boost my immune system. Okay. I'm forcing myself to rest more, because Paul McGuire has a tendency to be a workaholic. That keeps your immune system going up. But here's the other thing. I study and I research from people I trust, okay? nutritional sources, doctors that I trust. I don't go onto Google and just type in cures for the coronavirus. It's all propaganda and lies below that. I don't even read that garbage. I go to sources that have depth and truth. So I'm doing that. It's a multidimensional battle. So I'm taking the nutrients, targeted nutrients, like nutrients that are known to help in this type of area. I'm practicing social distancing. Packages that come to our door. I was just speaking to, let's just put it this way, a high-level source. And actually, I spoke with a high-level source at length yesterday, and I don't think we have time on today's show, but I got a list of, let's just put it this way, to-dos from the highest levels of U.S. government of what they've just discovered on how to deal with this. And eventually it's going to go out, get to the public anyway. Perhaps if we have more time and invite me back in the near future, I can get it out to your audience, because I actually forgot. He gave me so much information that they have just discovered. I'll just throw one out. I'm not trying to tease people, but certain things you can be doing, you may not realize it, but you can be taking things that function as accelerants to the coronavirus. It accelerates it.
Yes.
And this is not a hit on a particular drug, because I've heard positives and negatives, but they are looking at the possibility that, Advil is what? What's the chemical name for Advil? Ibuprofen is Tylenol, right?
No, Tylenol is Tylenol. Ibuprofen is ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen is that?
What's that?
I think so. I think Advil and ibuprofen are the same thing. I mean, one's a. Let's not get bogged down.
We could do that. We got about 2 minutes, Paul. I apologize, okay. And I want you back as soon as you can. I know you gotta.
Can I just something briefly? Because I have to say it. Forget about the Advil for right now. Okay. In addition to doing all that, I want to just tell your viewers and listeners with everything in me, because I live this. This is not theoretical. I live it. You have to infuse yourself with power from on high. It's not a game. It's not a religious fairy tale. You have to infuse yourself with power from on high, which means you need to call upon Jesus to fill you with power on high. Number two is, remember that everyone who came to Jesus, he healed. And when the lady touched him in the hem of the garment, the healing virtue of Jesus went out of him into her, and she was healed. And Jesus could feel the power of the healing virtue come out of him and heal her. The healing virtue of Jesus Christ, the healing power of Jesus Christ, you can feel it. It's real. It can heal you. It can deliver you. It can help you strengthen your immune system. You use both. It's a multidimensional battle. Amen. So I want to encourage you to call on the name of Jesus and cut the nonsense. This is a war. If you don't get it right, you're going to get a bullet in your throat. Ask Jesus to fill you with power from on high. Ask him to fill you with his healing power, and pray that healing power over yourself, your family, and your loved ones. I cannot tell you how important that is. That Passover lamb, the angel of death that killed the firstborn in Egypt, that angel of death or destruction had to pass over the doorways of all those who put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. Well, we put the blood of the lamb, Jesus Christ, on the doorposts of our heart and our homes, and the death angel will pass over, and that plague will not bring you down.
I could not have said that any better. And Paul, I do want you to come back as soon as you can. We have a lot to talk about, and you've provided a lot of information here today. I want to thank you so very much. And I want to thank you, by the way, if you go to paulmcguire.us, folks, coronavirus, a multidimensional battle. That's where I got the verbiage from, of course. There it is on your screen, coronavirus, a multidimensional battle. You did this yesterday, as a matter of fact, 3:30 of 2020. And I want to thank you. What an information-packed segment that was. And Paul, again, thank you for coming. Please come back again, and let's do this again, because we've got so much more to talk about. We really do.
Keep up the good work, Doug. Thank you.
Paul McGuire, folks, paulmcguire.us. And I'm telling you, his book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. I love that book. I love all of his books, that one in particular, and really kind of provides a baseline, a basis for what we're seeing today. Plus, again, paulmcguire.us. If you go there now, you can see on the front page, coronavirus, a multidimensional battle. Very interesting. I watched it earlier this morning. Very interesting 60 Minutes, and I think you'd be very well off by listening and watching Paul McGuire from yesterday. So a lot of information there. Yeah, I've got trouble pronouncing normal words, and he was having trouble pronouncing hydroxychloroquine. Let me tell you something. I've got obviously trouble pronouncing monosyllabic words. Okay. Real quick here. Do we have Stan? All right. Without really getting into any more, again, you can search the headlines. You can see what the headlines are. You can see the body count has now reportedly surpassed with respect to the coronavirus or the Communist Chinese Party coronavirus. You can see now that the body count has passed that of the 9/11 victims, at least on 9/11, not the extended list of victims, but at least the body count on 9/11. That according to news sources. You can see as well the information, as I referenced in the first hour. It was interesting to point out the fact that we are being lied to, whether it's by the federal government, whether it's by the state government, governments in general, Or by the media, where I gave the example of CBS using footage, and Alex Jones pointed this out, I think it was yesterday or the day before, using footage from Italy as the backdrop of New York City hospitals. And yet, isn't it odd, or isn't it ironic, that it is we, meaning me personally, Steve Quayle, Alex Jones, he's going to be coming on, by the way, Alex Jones is. I've got to get some things scheduled with him. But isn't it interesting where we are the ones who are cited, are sued, are named in lawsuits as being purveyors of fake news? Think about that. And our discussion last hour, just briefly, involved Rodney Howard Brown. I know Rodney Howard Brown. I consider him a friend. I mean, we're on friendly terms. I think I know why he did what he did, okay, with respect to his church. It's not to say I agree with it. I understand it. Don't necessarily agree with it. And the technology that Paul was talking about that was in use, it has to do with the light and frequency. All right, so, but that's all I know. Does it work? I don't know. But again, do I agree with him? Not really. Would I tell him that? Absolutely. But nonetheless, we are seeing our constitutional liberties, our rights, delineated by the Constitution, by the Bill of Rights, given to us by God. We are seeing them eroding. And you know, Christians are not saying, hey, wait a minute, this is unconstitutional. Now, we as a population, I believe, should be intelligent enough, for example, if we are immunocompromised, to self-quarantine, I would think. If you are concerned about the coronavirus, and even the coronavirus as well as the 5G force multiplying effect, if that is your thought process. But we don't need our rights taken away, like after 9/11. Think about this real quick before Stan comes on. Think about this. 9/11 took place, 9/11/2001. What happened after that? We got the Patriot Act. Paul Cottrell on talking about the possibility of a Bio-Patriot Act being put into place. To some extent, we are seeing that right now. Social distancing. Look, I don't like that phrase. I understand what they mean by that, but I don't like that phrase. To me, social distancing, that's got some, in my view, has some very negative and very ominous connotations to it. The blaming of others. Somebody had written a very impassioned email to me. I didn't respond yet, saying, please, please don't please don't use Chinese coronavirus. Please don't say that. Please don't say Wuhan virus. Because Asian Americans will and are suffering because of this. No, any more than the Rocky Mountains are suffering from the spotted Rocky Mountain fever. I don't believe that to be the case. And it's customary to identify the region or the area, the geographical location of a virus, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, as an example. Wuhan coronavirus, as an example. The real people who are going to be blamed for this, in my view, it's right here, as I showed Paul, from last week. It's going to be the Christians, the religious right, their hostility towards science. As I mentioned, they don't believe in science. We don't believe in science. Well, I got Stan Deo to say otherwise, but we don't believe in science. And our hostility to science is crippling our coronavirus response. And again, this goes to what Rodney Howard Brown did. I don't agree with what he did because of this, but this was going to happen regardless. That just amplifies it. This is going to happen regardless. With me to talk about this and so much more, Stan Deo. It's Tuesdays with Stan. What do you think? Can your tie do that? Stan, how are you?
Good evening, me boy. It looks like we've survived another week.
Yes, and I apologize for being tardy.
Oh, well, I was listening. You know, you're talking about diseases being named by places. I know they've used this example before, but Lyme disease, you know, the tick disease, was discovered in 1975 in Connecticut, in Lyme, Old Lyme in 1975. So, you know, we do it to ourselves. We do it to others. It's where it occurs. I mean, goodness gracious.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, people have – Stan, I just think people have got to – quit being a snowflake, everyone. You know, people's feelings are so easily hurt. You know, and it's not – I mean, my goodness. Stop it. Just stop it. I don't know. That's just,
you know, – when I remember years ago when the internet kind of started, it evolved from the university set and out into the general public. And I noticed very early when I started exploring the internet at that time that people were very hostile at some things you might say or put up. I mean, extremely rude and making threats that were, you know, probably not in their normal nature, but because they could hide behind the screen, they did that. And now we've got a whole snowflake generation. You've hurt my feelings by saying this. I'm thinking, you know, come stand in front of me and let's duke it out. You know, if you feel that way about it, let's get it on. You know, a lot of this moaning and complaining and stuff wouldn't happen if you were face to face with these turkeys.
Boy, you are so
in
right.
The old days.
Yeah, you're so right.
I mean, some of the stuff I've gotten.
I have seen such, and I've gotten such. Incredibly vile, vicious, and horrendous messages and emails. I mean, things, if I told you, Stan, and I know you have too, but, things that, you know, I never dream in 100 million years of saying to somebody, okay, I've gotten some emails like that. But you know what? You're right. If that person perhaps was standing across from me or you, I bet you they wouldn't say that.
And, of course not. They value their nose.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I'm getting too old. I have to use, I'm getting too old, so I've got to use a different approach. I'll just leave it at that. But anyway. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Well,
I'm looking at something over here, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. Well, I've got those too, and I still kind of remember my moves from the days when I used to box, and you know, I never lost a match. I'd knock them out. So,
you know, I was thinking about that. I'll bet you, you just, I would not want to get in a ring with you. I even today, okay, you and I, maybe we'd be doing it from recliners or Barco loungers or whatever, but
yeah,
I wouldn't take you on.
You know, during the Depression, my grandfather on my dad's side, Donald Deo, Grandpa Deo, he used to earn money for the family on the side. In addition to being an electrician, he would take on street fighting. And he was a small guy, but his muscles were made of steel. I'm not kidding you. When I, as a kid, I'd feel his muscles in his arm, and I'd say, wow, those are so hard. How do they get so hard? He said, you got to eat your toast, boy. It's toast that does it. Well, he told me years later when I could remember all this, he says, you know how I used to take those guys that were much taller than me down? I'd get them in one hit. I said, well, how'd you do that? He said, well, I'd stand on their toes, reach up like this under the chin, and knock them out, and then collect my money and go home. And I learned from that. So when I boxed, I learned to dance and then give a right cut, and they were gone.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the good old days, boy. I'll tell you what. Do you have any video of that? Boxing?
No. This was at the academy. We didn't have videos back then.
Yeah.
But I also fought at YMCA before I went to the academy. It was really good experience. It it teaches a young man how to be a young man, you know, instead of just some kind of a wimp sitting there on the internet complaining.
Exactly.
Of course, we didn't have it back then.
Yeah. It's
okay.
All right, sir. Go ahead.
All right, let's get on some other things here. Let's see. You've been talking about coronavirus. On my show images page in slide 45, it says that Stanford researchers Stanford researchers say evidence shows that the United States will recover from COVID-19 faster than expected. Now, that's good news to me. So it's a video that you can watch and see why they're saying this. Believe it or not, these are some of the things that they are researching, and this is just normal, straightforward science. I know I hate to use that word science, but that's the way it is. To get around the politics of it, to get around the panic over the figures, and again, the panic over the figures in the United States. One of the things that we're doing that a lot of the other countries can't do at the moment is that we're doing more testing. I'm sure you've covered this. It means that we're going to discover more cases, and that kind of is a disproportionate blowout of the curve for reported cases or proven cases. However, the number of deaths is a fact. I mean, you don't have to have a test to do that. The guy died of coronavirus. He's dead. Okay. That's a death count. So I watch the death count and the rise in that. And I do think we are going to peak out, within 2 or 3 weeks. But that's just an estimate based on the figures that my partner Tim and I've been keeping up of the world death and also the case count. We've run spreadsheets ourselves. So we'll see. Anyway, it's a good article or a good video. Have a look at it and be encouraged or not. I think that's what it is.
Do you think that that although we're going to see perhaps the peak earlier, do you see this coming back in the fall and maybe the same or a different iteration of what we're seeing now or no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I think it'll come back. But by that time, I think we'll have enough of a handle in our scientific research to, especially in the Fort Detrick stuff, that we'll be able to have vaccines and the quantity necessary to prepare people for the most common forms or mutations of the COVID-19 virus. So it's not going to go away. I mean, the flu doesn't go away. And, you know, a lot of people complain at me for, suggesting that you get your flu shot. But Holly and I are, in that age group where we need it. And we get it every year. And, we don't get the flu. And so if they have a coronavirus thing for oldies next year or later this year, I'll probably take that too. So, well, Holly,
that's your personal choice, right? I mean, and I see the comments on YouTube videos and such. If you make a personal choice to get a flu shot, that's one thing. If you are forced to get a flu shot at the barrel of a gun or at the end of the business end of a gun, that's a whole different topic. I have no problem with people. Yeah. If they make an informed decision to get a flu shot, fine. If they make that informed decision like you, fine. But I'll tell you what, don't force, the government should not, in my view, force others to do that. Is that how you feel or no? Is that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, right. Holly and I, have lung conditions, that put us in a high risk thing in addition to our age. And, so we weigh the odds and say, well, look, I'd probably like to stop breathing and, keep breathing and not stop breathing. So I'll take the inoculations when they come. And so far it's worked for us. I mean, I might speak kind of funny, but, I'm still alive. No, I'm just teasing, but
we need some levity anyway. That's right.
Oh, we do. Hey, listen, I got an email. This is kind of not like doom and disaster, but it's a rather interesting thing. In slide 43, I got an email from a guy named Rick Hemme. And you can see there in 43, it's a picture he took with his camera when he was up in the Himalayas in January, February this year. And, he was, traipsing around and, taking photos of stuff there. And, he discovered down at his feet this fossil. It's called a cephalopod, from the Cambrian period. There you go. You've got the big picture of that. The cephalopods are, they're bottom dwellers in the ocean during the Cambrian period, bottom of the sea, of the ocean, right? So you say, how did this get up to the top of the Himalayas? Now, this has been known for some time, but anyway, Rick was, the first person I knew that actually been up in the Himalayas and picked one of them up. How do you get seashells or fossils of sea animals like this at 12,000 feet altitude? And it goes back to what I was telling in the Atlantis video, which you can link to there, I think in slide 44, I think it goes to the video. Anyway, where I explain how the asteroid that hit on the east coast of India before it was pushed up to form the Himalayas, India used to actually snuggle up to Madagascar and Northeast Africa. They were separated by rivers. That was it. And when this asteroid hit at Kudapa, which is now, a region that they say it was formed by an asteroid impact, a large asteroid impact, maybe 15, mile diameter, they can't find the impact point. Well, the reason is, as I explained in the Atlantis video, which you can see on my YouTube channel for free, it's not a con to get you to watch the video and pay me money or anything, but go there and you will see that when that asteroid impacted, it pushed Australia away from where it used to connect to India, clear down to where it is now. It formed the all of the Indonesian islands. It broke up what was used to call Lemuria, looking for it. It shoved India. It just pushed India up into China, and the seabed in front of that pushing formed the Himalayas. And that's how you have sea fossils, seabed fossils up at the top of the Himalayas, just because that asteroid hit so hard that it just splashed up the surface of the Earth, not a very deep thing, just the crust of it, shoved it up like it was on top of a latte coffee and something, and you blew on it, and it just shoved it up and pushed up the Himalayas, and that's how we got the marine fossils up there. And, I know that there are going to be scientists say, oh, that's impossible. It occurred 500 million years ago or all that kind of rubbish. But it didn't. I won't get into timing arguments again, but I do it too often. But this happened recently, and it was what caused the Great Flood. And the oil companies that have been exploring in that region, in Saudi Arabia and in the Indian Ocean, and even one that was up in, Mongolia, who contacted me from his iPad. When they saw what I had put there, they said, ah, yes, that's the asteroid we've been looking for, because we knew it through 2 miles of seabed up into the air and over the top of Oman in the southeast corner of like the Saudi Peninsula at that time. So anyway, it just reminded me how these things get by a lot of people and they don't really get a good explanation for it. And, I'm telling you, this happened in recent times, within thousands of years, not like hundreds of millions or anything like that. Our dating system is really just totally wrong. I can't say it any better than that. And when science does catch up and get over the fact that they might lose their tenure, you know, at some university or something, and look at the facts. The Earth used to be smaller in diameter. It did expand after this asteroid hit there. I found the asteroid. There's no question about it. And when they do that, they'll realize that the Earth has expanded. It's now about 33% bigger than it was, or it was 25% smaller, whichever way we look at it. And it broke Pangaea apart, where all the continents formed, you know, that we have today. And continental drift is a misnomer. It's the end of a catastrophic splitting of the continents a few thousand years back, 7,000-8,000 years or less. I think it's probably around 2345 BC. But anyway, when I got that picture from Rick, I thought, well, I got to talk about this because it is a very important thing to prove the accuracy of the Bible and to also solve the mystery of, you know, continental drift and the legendary Atlantis was real, where it is today, and how Lemuria was a misnomer for the island chain that broke up when that asteroid hit the east coast of Africa and split everything over into form Indonesia. And even Hawaii was part of it when it got kicked over. Anyhow, that's
nicely summarized.
One of my pet peeves.
I love it. Very nicely summarized. But the Earth is still flat, though, right? Never mind.
let's don't start that one. Oh, that's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's just bad.
Folks, save your emails. Go ahead. Go ahead, Stan.
Yeah. Look, still on that coronavirus thing, slide 48. This is from a new news source called NewsThud, T-H-U-D, newsthud.com. And they had an article in there a couple of days back. Says New York doctor successfully treats patients with drug cocktail, has zero deaths, zero hospitalizations, zero intubations, treating coronavirus 19, COVID-19. Now read that article. He sent the letter, an open letter to the President of the United States saying, look, I have proven this. I think he did, you know, maybe 200 cases or more, that he did the test on. I'm just trying to remember the exact number, but anyway. He has that hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, which we know about, and zinc sulfate. And, you know, these are all now talked about in the press, but he's proven this cocktail works. And zinc is very important in your diet just for normal recovery from diseases or bacterial infections. So I do tell people, take your zinc, take your vitamin C, at least 500, maybe 1,000 milligrams a day. Take your concentrated D3 as a sublingual, and iron, like folate, in a sublingual as well. These things will boost your immunity. So if you do get it, it'll be a milder case. Anyway, this article is important. So have a read of it. And I think this news site is going to be very valuable to those of us that don't want fake news. Just
I agree.
Have a look at it.
And as I mentioned last hour, you know, Alex Jones from InfoWars spoke about this on his program. This very topic, and he was referencing someone else. In fact, I think it could have been Pence, or I don't know who I can't recall who he was talking about, but this very issue, and of course what Google did, that was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back, and they wiped out his app, which to me, I mean, why are people in control so desperate to silence any discussion about the hydroxychloroquine, the zinc, and the Z-Pak? Why? If it works, why?
Well, okay, I'm going to tell you my crazy Stan conspiracy theory, which I wrote about in 1978 in the Cosmic Conspiracy. There are going to be, in the media, accented, you know, accelerated coverage of pandemics, the threat of nuclear war, famine, food shortages, economic crisis, you know, these, there are probably five, maybe six major curves that are going to be accelerated beyond what they are now. Okay. Why? Oh, why? Because some idiot, like in slide 47, former UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown says it's time for a global government to tackle coronavirus. That's just one of the curves. Now, you can see that we're being driven toward a world government and the need for it before it actually gets to the extent that it's really a global crisis. So that's why they don't want you to not be afraid. They want you to fear the stuff, and you want peace and safety from all these threats, you know, and you want money in your wallet, and you know, no economic crisis, and all this is driving us to people crying out for a global government that is fair to everyone, you know, and gives them peace and safety.
Nicely
done. And this is biblical.
Yeah. But as you said, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen until our Lord and Savior returns, Jesus Christ returns.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. You can't trust a human to be in a position where he's running a royal government, or a group of humans in a committee, because they are humans. I mean, I'm forgetting stuff now. I'm getting older. My body and my brain, they wear out like anybody else at ages. And you can't have someone in charge that's a human. You have to have a perfect being without the physical liabilities that come with age, or, you know, greed, or things like this. I mean, our Lord, you know, Jesus is not that person. He gave his life for us, and now he's risen from the grave, and he's going to be our king. He's going to take back the territory that Adam ceded over to him in the Garden of Eden when he broke the rules. Now, because of that, when you see people being driven into a world government by men, be afraid, because it's going to be run by Satan in the background. I promise you this. It's a conspiracy that has been in the making for generations, now coming to a head. And in fact, if you look in the newspapers or online about UFO stories at the moment and how many UFO sightings are being filmed and reported now, and the spike, the increase in that, and the increase in the governments of various countries saying, well, okay, they're here, and look at, you know, that Umomo or whatever it is, that big long thing, it could be, you know, an alien spaceship that's come in and has put a little artificial moon around us, which we do have now. We have a second moon for a while orbiting between the moon and us, and it might be some kind of a sensor. Okay, whether it is or not, the press is saying that, look, they are here. I'll bet you they're here, because these things are not normal. And, you know, that Umomo is long, like a long ship, even though it might be a rock. But, you know, all this kind of nonsense is driving people to get ready for what UFO fanatics have been saying for some time, formal disclosure. And I've been telling them since 1978, the formal disclosure is going to be made by, governments, but it's going to be demanded by the people. That's what they want, the people to demand the truth at the right time, and then the governments will be forced to, you know, recognize the alien presence and how we've been dealing with that kind of stuff to form this new government. It's all part of an effort to fool the people of Earth, more than the governments, the people, so that they will cry out for a global religion, a global economy, a global law and order, you know, global peace. And like the Bible says, they'll cry out for peace and safety, but then sudden destruction will be upon them, because we're looking at the tribulation period and the attacks of Satan on Hebrews and on Christians, and leading up to the climax in the Great Tribulation. Of course, there will be Christians on the planet even during the tribulation who will become believers. And, you know, as a result of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will spread across the earth sealed by God, these things, you know, are happening. And, you know, I don't know how to explain to people who don't believe that these are facts. You can look at what we're being fed in the media and look at where it's driving us, toward this one world dictatorship that people will cry out for, the people more than the government. I mean, we could form a one world government, you know, I'm sure, you know, globally, by the governments getting together and say, okay, this is it. But they have to answer to their populations, to whether they're your religious populations or economic or, you know, sociological or governmental structure. They have to answer to the people. So the people are the power on the planet. They have to be convinced we need a fair global government. And to do that means that they have to have a unified world religion, so we don't have religious wars, unified economy, so we don't have economic differences between, you know, poor people and rich people, or not too much anyway, you know, and safety from nuclear war. All these things people are going to demand because of what they see in the press. And in one hand, Doug, I understand if I weren't a believer, I weren't, born again, believer, I would say, well, now that's a clever approach. Instead of forcing the world by dictatorship, help the world to see that this is what they need, and give them a 7-year trial and say, look, let's suck it and see. Let's see if this works this way. I would be for a world government. But even though I am now, it's a world government under the right being, which is Jesus, you know, our Messiah, who is a perfect being and will not fail. So yeah, gosh, I'm on my bandwagon again. I'm sorry, but
no, I like that. I think people need to hear exactly that. And you know, it's interesting how people can, I believe, are ripe now for that deception. We always talk about the deception. Well, what's a deception going to be? Well, I mean, whatever deception it might be, it's going to drive, or it's going to pull us into this world government where people will be clamoring for that. It's interesting how it's easier to pull a rope than it is to push a rope. So, I'm not sure where I was going with that except to say, you know, it's easier to get people, or it's better to get people to accept or to ask for, I should say, world government than to force one upon a population. So you're right.
For over 56 years since I was recruited to join, Dr. Teller's group down to make flying saucers in Australia, since that time, I have known what the plan was. And, you know, if you think it's unpopular now to speak like this, 56 years ago, it was crazy. I mean, it was, you know, certifiable lunacy. But I was inside. I know where they're headed with this and why they're headed with this.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Anyway. Talk about keeping you up at night. I mean, it's, and you can, and given that knowledge, given that background, Stan, I'm sure you can see how the population is acquiescing to this, to these various issues. I mean, look, from 9/11 to the coronavirus, I mean, what people are doing in terms of, asking for, security, you know, I'll trade security, or I'll trade, my freedoms for security, I'll trade, you know, my freedoms for health or whatever it might be. So, yeah, I got you.
All right. Let me run this thought past you. I'm not breaching any security agreements, but I will say this. Have you ever thought that with the coronavirus striking our military and our population so heavily at this point, how vulnerable we are to an attack, say, from China or Russia or North Korea? Have you ever thought about that?
Actually, the program yesterday, we spoke the entire program about that yesterday, about the fact that either from, I mean, we're being softened up, just briefly, we are being softened up, I believe, depopulated. There's multiple levels to this coronavirus. Yes, and I think either from, we know, Stan, that there are Chinese and Russian assets, communist assets in this country working behind the scenes. Yep. We know that. We know that there are Chinese south of our border. We know we've got a porous southern border, porous northern border. We know that there's a lot that we know. And, I do believe, Stan, that we could be looking at a war that we don't know that we're already in. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And listen, I hark back to when Holly and I were guests of the Hopi down in the Shagopabi, Second Mesa. They told us, their prophecy keeper guy told us that the United States will be invaded by China, Russia, and one Middle Eastern nation. Now, I don't know whether that's Saudi Arabia or Iran or who, but those three entities would invade the United States from both shores and would stop after a point and leave the country. They wouldn't occupy it. Now, I got thinking today, you know, all right, is that because they don't want to be exposed to their own bio-war where they planted here? You know, would that run them back out of here? Mm. Are the cities so destroyed by nuclear war or something that they don't want to be here because of radiation pollution or what? Anyway, that's one of my crazy thoughts was, yeah, maybe they made such a mess of America that they've done what they wanted as far as taking America out of the lead role in the U.S., or sorry, in the world. But, I guess they've got all the spoils from it that they want at the moment, you know, perhaps all the oil they need from other places and a world economy based on gold. Well, China and Russia have been hoarding gold for some time now. So what do they need us for? They've stolen all of the patents and stuff that they can. They've had a Chinese desk in the patent office. I know for a fact because I talked to the patent office about this. 20 years ago, they just sit there and watch for as soon as a patent becomes unsealed, how to get around it, send it back home and steal our intellectual property. So they've virtually been raping America without Americans realizing it. And so if they destroy us, well, okay, big deal. America's no longer a competition, but they're going to be sorry. They are really going to be sorry because we're the biggest consumer.
Well, right. And I just shake my head at the fact that we have become, in a separate but related topic, we have become so dependent upon China for everything from, like we spoke last week, from antibiotics to medicine, to components for machinery, transformers for the electrical grid. Folks, get your EMP shield. I'm telling you right now, get your EMP shield because you don't know what the next shoe is to drop. EMPshield.com, use promo code Hagman. Nothing like a sales plug, right? Nothing like a, but Stan, of course, has, he's the guy behind EMP Shield, him and his partner, EMPshield.com, listed by the Department of Homeland Security in their February 5th, 2019 EMP Resilience Report. It is that good. EMPshield.com, promo code Hagman. That's right. That's right. By the way, you get a nice discount when you use promo code Hagman. Nice discount. And again, we don't know what the next shoe to drop is. So thank you for saying that. But you know, Stan, I guess when I look at this, it amazes me how many people get behind a microphone and say, well, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. This is going on. It's a global reset of currency, or it's a national reset of currency. Okay. It could be. Or you know what? Mass arrests are taking place of the global elite. That's what's going on. They're so dogmatic when in fact, I think we should be asking questions because here's about the only thing I really know for certain. We're being lied to either by omission or commission. We're not being told the truth. And you know, and I've been in the courtroom enough times, you know, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth? You know, yeah. But we're not getting that. We're not getting the whole truth. What else is going on here? Do you feel it? I mean, do you feel like there's something just not right about what we're seeing, Stan? The response from the coronavirus to the response to the coronavirus. Do you feel that
way? Yeah, yeah. Of course. I mean, it all fits into, you know, Stanley's conspiracy thing about the global elite trying to form a one-world government.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I see all these streams in the media heading toward people wanting to demand peace and safety.
That's right.
You know, I mean, people that are home now for the first time, it's reached them personally, not just only in their pocketbook, but in a threat to life. We've got their attention.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very fertile ground for forming a world government. People will cry out for it. Anyway.
Indeed. And pardon me for interrupting again, but you were on the forefront of this cosmic conspiracy, folks. What a great book by Stan Dale. And, you know, you talk about preparation. Hey, Dare to Prepare by Holly. Don't forget that. Cosmic Conspiracy, Dare to Prepare, and, of course, Garden Gold. Go to standale.com. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, thank you for that. On that note, the Dare to Prepare book, we have a very limited quantity left, and our printers are in lockdown, so we can't print anymore. So if you're going to get it, I don't know when we'll be able to reprint, so you better get what we've got left now. I know that several several booksellers are ordering by the case, clearing us out pretty quick. So if you're going to get it, I'd get it now. And as far as your EMP shields, Doug, we're talking about,
yep.
You better do the same thing there because some of our suppliers and stuff cannot make the stuff that we need to make the EMP shields. So it's what we got on the shelf.
Make
and,
the commitment,
after
folks.
That.
Yeah. Folks, make the commitment to get your EMP shield today as well as Dare to Prepare. Hey, Eric the Tech, I think it's time that we move Dare to Prepare, the latest volume, from the bookshelf in the office to the safe. All right? So let's get the arm guard together and do that. But no, in all seriousness, you're right because look, the EMP shield is critically important, for at least in my view, because I've been to the EMP meetings talking about the threat and we know, we don't know what the other shoe is, and it could very well be an EMP thing, EMP event, not an EMP thing. What am I saying? EMP event. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Look, I can't really be specific about certain things because, you know, we deal with various agencies, but, Chinese are probably the leading developer of EMP type weapons. And there are two main types, possibly a third one that we're now aware of. Which make it imperative that people listen to this and prepare. We're not sitting here just twiddling our thumbs. We are helping the government in a lot of ways. So don't depend on it, though, because with the shortage of cash, we can only do so much even if we have solutions, if you get my drift.
I do, and I know that most of our listeners do as well. Do a very good job, yeah. By the way.
Yeah. Okay, on UFO stuff, believe it or not, go to slide 46, where it says, Iranian pilot's UFO encounter may have been with an American Mach 10 drone. If you go over that article and scroll down, let's see here. How far down is that? About halfway down the article. You'll see a paragraph that starts out, the UAVs, the unmanned aerial vehicles that they were witnessing there in Iran. Iran was using F-14s, which are so outdated it's not funny. But anyway, they were flying one of their F-14s, and these luminous, glowing blue luminous UAVs, unidentified vehicles, aerial vehicles, jam radars, disrupt interceptors' navigation systems, fly outside the atmosphere at speeds up to Mach 10. They could hover. They fly at night, emitting that blue light. In several cases, F-14s faced them but were unable to operate their armament systems properly. Now, those UFOs or UAVs, as they want to call them, if they're ours, they would. They're saying they would be these pictures up there at the top here. The what's that?
Mach 10.
I forget what. The Mach 10 thing. I'm just looking to see if we've got a name for what they call that craft. But anyway, I know that we have technology. We've had it for 50 years at least, 55 maybe. For anti-gravity, we've had the ability to make vehicles that do all these wondrous things. And a byproduct of the gravitic propulsion is a glowing blue charge field around the craft. Some of the older models had pinpoints of blue light around the rim of it, which were ionization ports as the field was circulated. But if it's this craft they show here, this drone, well, we could have incorporated stuff into that as well. But the fact that they're making this UAV, and now calling it a UAV instead of a, it's unmanned aerial vehicle or unidentified aerial vehicle, depending on how you want to use that abbreviation. The fact that they're now doing that and linking it to UFOs tells me that, once again, we're being drawn into the UFO situation worldwide by something happening over Iran.
Interesting. Wow.
And as I say, we do have the technology, we do have the technology. We have had it for a long time. And wondrous things, wondrous kinds of molecular physics and walking through walls and all that kind of stuff.
You know.
So much in the background.
Why, Stan, I know I've asked this question before, and go ahead and mock me, people, for asking it again, but why the incremental rollout of the technology if we've got it? Or is it being used by the people in charge, for what we're seeing? Is it to fully convince people, deceive people when it's time? Is that why? Or is there something
more? Not exactly. It's partly that, for sure. Partly that. But can you imagine if we were to release a simpler thing as been developed and patented over in California as a flying car? Now, how do you license people to drive a flying car, stay sober, and not fall into somebody's living room?
You just become an illegal alien. I'm sorry.
I understand. The problem is that it's the human factor. If we were to release anti-gravity willy-nilly, we're releasing technology to people who are enemies of each other, who can use it to blow the planet up, okay, and to do horrible things. Okay, so that cries out for a world government to control the distribution and use of that
Good
technology.
Yep.
If we wanted to release a technology for molecular physics so one object can pass through another object, solid object, and not be harmed and come out the other side intact, again, this is something you could use to rob safes, we need a global police force to control the technology. So there are a number of very practical reasons for some of the technology being held back, and I understand that. But the main thing is going to be when the alien presence is revealed, they'll have technology beyond what we have and what we've held in the back room. Even if there weren't a real alien presence, there was a plan for us to wait a generation or so and to drive people to need for world government and then to create, a blue beam type project where we would make a fake alien invasion. But we don't need to do that anymore. They're here. And so, in essence, we've joined forces by not making it public yet until the time is right. So that's why this technology is on the shelf. So much of it has been held in reserve for that great new world that's going to come when they form a global government and control everyone so that you don't misuse the technology and you follow the rules, et cetera, et cetera.
Fascinating.
That's why.
Yeah.
Look, it's a fascinating subject, but that's what's happening. I mean, after World War II, probably in 1947, 48, there were meetings with the Allies, and they did discuss ways to form a peaceful world government. And they knew the United Nations type things wouldn't work because you can't get, you know, any three of them to agree on what kind of coffee to drink, much less 196 nations or whatever at the time to agree on a global government. Okay. We just defeated Hitler at the time, who tried to force people into his way of thinking, and that didn't work. The French resistance proved that. You're not going to force people. And the third alternative, alternative three, you've heard that term before, was to coerce the people into wanting a world government. And that takes longer, but that's where we are now. Whether it be by Satan or by Blue Beam and dark projects, that's where we are now. We are being coerced as a people of Earth into accepting a world government.
Fantastic explanation. If I had a studio audience, they'd be on their feet giving you a standing ovation, but I had to send them all home.
You know, I forget that my voice is unique because to me it's just my voice, but there'll be times when I answer the phone and people say, oh, you're that guy. I know your voice, you know, and it's a voice, Brent, that gives me away. I often stutter about that and think, oh, well, yeah, you're right. But, you know, if it's not me, it's Holly or one of the two dogs answering the phone. So who'd you expect?
Now, you do have and think about how many your voice has been heard around the planet so many times. It's just amazing to think, you know, the number of years that you've committed to provide knowledge to us and Holly too. I mean, my goodness, thank the both of you. We thank both of you, and it's
her voice is in print. Her voice is in print because she's the researcher that doesn't like to get in front of the camera or on the microphone. She's very shy.
Oh, I know that, but we still have her voice, you know. Hey, Holly.
Okay. Okay.
but no, yeah. She's a wonderful researcher. And by the way, standale.com is the website. She's busy, I think 24/7 putting up headlines there and stories, news stories and photos, cartoons, the issues. I mean, standale.com, DEYO, standale.com. So thank you, Holly, for all you do. And I know you're just back behind the, you're not in frame. So thank you, Holly.
Yeah, she's over there. You know, and you're right about 24/7 because she tries to limit it to, you know, between 5 in the morning to about 10 in the morning weekdays and Sunday, but because we take Saturday off. But there are a number of times we'll be having lunch, taking a break during the week for lunch, and she'll be sitting there having a bite. You know, we sit beside each other, and she'll be going through her iPad. She's, ooh, I've got to put this up right now. I'll be back in a minute. She'll run downstairs to the office and put up, a news article because it's important. So, yeah, just 24/7 for her. But
without her, I got to tell you, without her, I would not have known. Look on your screen that it's National Tater Day.
Oh, hey, goodness. I see that. You're right. You're right. Yeah, we have a laugh, when we get some of those national days of this or that, and she'll say, it's like National Pizza Day. Okay, let's have a pizza. You know, I mean, it's not hard to follow the national days like that. Mind you, the water I put on from the salt lasts for a couple of days, but I enjoy the pizzas.
Now, yeah, I know.
Okay. Okay, a couple other things. I better move along here. I've been being silly too long here. Slides 49, 50, and 51 are all related. 51 tells about a serious situation on Antarctica on the east side there where the deepest point of the land is letting a large glacial type, you know, ice overburden slide into the sea. Now, it might take a couple of years more. It might go a lot faster, but they're concerned that when it hits the ocean, this mass of ice is going to raise the sea level for the entire planet by 5 feet. And before you say, oh, yawn, 5 feet, big deal, look at slide 50, click on the picture, and then zoom it up. I got this off of one of the national sources, the government sources, showing what areas around New York, Manhattan Island, et cetera, would be swamped, would be sunk if the sea level rose only 5 feet. And you'll see these kind of pinkish areas over you know, the land map there around New York and Brooklyn and whatever, and you'll see where you don't want to live. You know, you don't want to have property because that land is going to be submerged. See Manhattan, you see New York, and you know, the coast of Long Island. I mean, it just, you know.
I've been to some of those areas. And, okay.
Okay, now that's wow. New York. Now, then slide 49, if you click on that and get a big picture, that shows all around Washington, D.C., and the tributaries going up in there towards Salisbury and Delaware. All those areas, if you have property there, you don't want to have property. Now, that, mind you, that is a 9-foot sea level rise. We know from NASA's data that eventually, should the ice melt and we get out of this ice age, that the sea level could rise over 210 feet. Now, when that happens, it's not going to really be an issue. Most of our coastal cities will be gone. So I wanted to bring this to your attention. If you've got beachfront property or riverside or estuary-type property, long-term investment is get out of it because it's going to be underwater. I mean, really underwater, not just figuratively speaking.
Well, there goes my retirement beach house.
Let me see if I can find that somewhere down. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I was being silly here.
But you know, I mean, that's long-term. But you know, folks, think generationally too. If you have children, I mean, think about that. Think about your great-grandchildren. Think bigger. Think more than just being so egocentric that we're just thinking about ourselves. Go ahead.
Look at slide 6, way down at the bottom of my show images page. It's slide 6, I ran the sums on the NASA water levels and made maps to show how far inland on the coast and up the Mississippi that these sea level water levels rising would cause damage. And if you go there, you can click on maps that are huge, but they're detailed. If you zoom in on them, you can see where the water intrusion might go up and cover most of Arizona and parts of Nevada and Utah. All of California.
Wow.
So that's the worst case scenario.
These are your maps,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah,
folks,
yeah.
Look at that. Thank you for doing that, by the way. And that's
look up the Mississippi River Valley.
Yeah. Oh, my
goodness. Yeah, sorry. Anyway, that's I've had it there for a while, but it's important, so I keep it up there for folks to use. Another interesting thing, very quickly, slide 54 is a video, a news video in Israel.
Okay.
You know, in Israel, like in New York, they have ultra-Orthodox Jewish people, Israelites, who have the long little braids on their hair and stuff like that, and they don't trust science and, you know, modern medicine very much. So they've been ignoring the orders for the prime minister over there to not make, you know, big public gatherings, and they've gone to the synagogue. The shul, and gathered together, and 400 of them said, we're not going to lock down. We're going to, you know, stroll around here where we live. And of course, they're getting sick, by huge numbers. And in their, you know, religious altruism or whatever, they are killing themselves. And I just am sorry about that. But some people, you know, that complain about the inoculations thing, same situation. Science is not always crazy in trying to, you know, kill you with some kind of special drug or something. They're trying to help. And here these people in Israel are just killing themselves. Some of them are. Some will recover. But, I mean, it's just crazy to me that when they're that poor and they live in 10 or 15 people to small homes and stuff there, that, you know, they can't afford to go out and spread, you know, the coronavirus, but they're doing it.
Yeah, I agree.
And so Israel is going to get tough with them.
Well, I do agree. And I just referenced again, the religious right, although that's not what we're talking about here, the religious right, healthy skepticism. Hang on a second. Let me grab that. It's a bad phone. You like that, folks?
Yeah.
All right. The religious right will be blamed, I believe, on the exacerbation of this coronavirus, I believe. So it will in religion in general. So that's just my two cents.
Oh, never let a good crisis go to waste. Hey, yeah, they'll get us. And you know, I know we're running out of time, but Holly put up this on our main webpage. I just wanted to leave it up here for a week. Slide 53. There's a Vietnam vet that was wounded and he died in the forest over in Vietnam, and his partner, you know, pulled him to safety, even though he might have been dead. And he had an out-of-body experience, a near-death experience, which was so much like my own. I jaw dropped. I mean, he said he could feel this all enveloping warmth, like love. And he talked about all of the bad words in the dictionary, like greed and hate and, you know, fear. All those negative things were washed out of him, you know, and how beautiful it was and how his mind expanded. And he could think, you know, I want to go see that galaxy. This same thing happened to me. I was able to just go in my mind everywhere out there. And he didn't want to come back. I didn't want to come back because it is so cool out there in this new body you've got. And it's worth a listen. It's just a, you know, an old soldier telling you the story of how it happened to him. And know that just about 90% of what he says, I went through the same thing.
That's a great note to end on, and I want to thank you so much for your gracious gift of time that you've given us, the audience. We love and appreciate you, everything you do, you and Holly, and your furry friends, your furry family members, I should say. God bless you, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
All right.
Hopefully we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Indeed. That'll do it for me. Folks, HagmanReportLive.com. That's HagmanReportLive.com. HagmanReport.com. And don't forget, get your coffee. Get your coffee while you still can. HagmanStore.com. That's HagmanStore.com. One more time. HagmanStore.com. Coffee. Hey, 10% off. Get it while you can. I'm telling you. Get it now. Good night.